Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Alkem Laboratories Limited Q1 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by Motilal Oswal Financial Services Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Tushar Manudhane from Motilal Oswal Financial Services Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Manudhane.
Thank you, Michelle. Welcome to 1Q FY24 earnings call of Alkem Laboratories. From the management side, we have Mr. Sandeep Singh, Managing Director, Mr. Rajesh Dubey, CFO, Mr. Amit Ghare, President, International Business, Mr. Yogesh Kaushal, President, Chronic Division, and Mr. Amit Khandelia from the finance team. Over to you, Amit, for the opening remarks.
Thank you, Tushar. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today for Alkem Laboratories Q1 FY24 earnings call. Earlier during the day, we have released our financial results and investor presentation, and the same are also posted on our website. Hope you have had a chance to look at it. To discuss the business performance and outlook going forward, we have on this call the senior management team of Alkem. Before I proceed with this call, I would like to remind everyone that this call is being recorded, and the call transcript will be made available on our website as well. I would also like to add that today's discussion may include forward-looking statements, and the same must be viewed in conjunction with the risks that our business faces. After the end of this call, if any of your queries remain unanswered, please feel free to get in touch with me. With this, I would like to hand over the call to Sandeep to present the key highlights of the quarter gone by and the strategy going forward. Over to you, Sandeep.
Thank you, Amit. Good afternoon, everyone. In quarter one FY24, we witnessed good revenue growth in our operations with an impressive increase of 15.2% year-on-year. This growth was primarily fueled by strong performance of our business in international markets, wherein we have crossed 1,000 crore for the quarter for the first time. Several key factors, including the softening of select raw material prices, a favorable currency impact, easing of freight costs, and the successful implementation of our cost optimization efforts, has led to better operational performance, resulting in EBITDA margin of 13.1% for the quarter. We remain focused on optimizing our operations and driving profitability for sustained long-term success. The quarter also witnessed good cash generation, resulting in robust cash position of 2,430 crore. Coming to India business, we remain highly optimistic about our continued progress and firmly believe that we are well positioned to deliver market-leading growth as we have always done in the past. Our growth in chronic therapy segment continues to outperform the market, delivering sales of 15.8% year-on-year, whereas the industry only grew by 9.9% year-on-year for the quarter. During the quarter, we also gained one rank both in anti-diabetic and also in neuro CNS therapy. Thank you. With this, I think we are open for Q&A.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may please press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We'll take the first question from the line of Saion Mukherjee from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening. Yeah, my first question would be, you know, in the light of the first quarter results, with respect to your guidance that you had given of double-digit growth in India and around 16% EBITDA margin on a consolidated basis. So how should we think about that, and are you sort of revising any of these numbers?
Yeah, so on the guidance of revenue growth side, I think double-digit growth currently seems challenging, but it will be very high single digits for sure. And it also depends, because we have acute focus on seasonality of quarter two and all, so we'll have to watch out for that, to be honest, Sai. And it's a question is also because on the EBITDA margins, there we feel confident that the guidance of 16% EBITDA, we feel confident of achieving that, Sai.
Okay. And on the raw material pressure easing, is there more room for it to improve, gross margins to improve in the coming quarters?
It's quite possible, but we'll have to watch out for that.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. It seems to be that there is some relief there.
Okay, thanks. And my second question would be the pickup in international market, both in US and other markets. If you can give some color as to what is driving, are there any one-time opportunities, because there's a very steep rise, or any country, specific country which has contributed, any more color if you can provide on the ramp-up that we have seen in the international business and how sustainable it is going forward. Yeah, thanks.
Mr. Amit Gare, can you take that, please?
Thank you, Sandeep. There's no particular market per se which has contributed to this growth. Of course, the overall growth in the U.S. has been much more than the previous quarter, especially more than the last four quarters that we've seen sequentially or even year on year. So that has kind of overall contributed, but you'll also see other international business crossing 300 crores. So not one particular market has helped the growth. I think a lot of markets working together, as in growing very well, has contributed to the final numbers.
Okay. So you think this number is sustainable, the international business revenues both in US and ex-US, we should have this sustainable going forward?
For sure it's sustainable. Obviously the pricing pressures or how the price deflation works, particularly in US and in a few other markets, will kind of define going forward. But as you asked in the first question or the first time, there is no opportunistic business included here, or no significant opportunistic business here. No one-time businesses here.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'll join back, please.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Forum Parikh from BNK Securities. Please go ahead. Ms. Forum, I have unmuted your line. Can you proceed with your question?
Am I audible?
Yes, ma'am. Please proceed.
Yeah. So my question is, we have good net cash of 24 billion rupees. So can you just share on your capital allocation plan? Like, how do you intend to utilize this cash? Do we see any sort of M&A activities, or do we only want to expand on, MR front? If you can just give some sense on, on your capital allocation plan.
Right. So my capital allocation plan is the same as we have already discussed in the last few quarters. Nothing has changed. So that's number one. Obviously, you can't deploy capital of this kind on, employing medical reps. So that's out of the question. We also think we are more than adequately already deployed medical reps. So there's no expansion happening there as well. Mr. Dubey, want to add something on that?
No, I think you have already covered that. And in fact, in most of the quarterly earnings call, similar kind of clarification is provided. And but yes, of course, if we get some better opportunity, definitely we have resources.
Okay. And my second question is on the U.S. front. Can you just give us some color? Are we seeing any easing of price erosion or stability in price erosion? What kind of price erosion, are we seeing right now?
Mr. Gare, can you take that?
Yes, sir. Thank you. Yes, we have seen some easing of pricing pressure. In the whole of last fiscal, it may have been different quarter on quarter, but overall in the entire fiscal last year, we had double-digit price deflation. for this particular quarter, our pricing deflation was in single digits, though it was in higher single digits. Now, currently in the middle of quarter two, the pricing deflation still is in the higher single digits, but it's not in double digits. So it's better than what it was last year.
Okay. And so the margins, EBITDA margin is one of, it's kind of the lowest, you know, in the industry. In this kind of, you know, good times when we are seeing easing of freight cost and, you know, API cost is easing. So do we not see of expanding our EBITDA margin guidance, you know, from 16% plus or minus 1%?
No, no, absolutely not, ma'am. We knew these, I mean, see, freight was all-time high last year, so obviously there was some indication it will come down. All this is factored in and when we gave a guidance of 16%.
Okay.
And acknowledge we have one of the lowest EBITDA margins, so work is on that. But we are not upgrading a guidance what we gave last time.
Okay, but in near future, like 2 to 3 years' time, do we see it going back to something in 20s, what we used to earlier achieve?
We were never in 20s as far as I remember, but you all can correct me. We must be like one freakish year, it could be where we could be close to that. But every year, let's say we have gained 50 to 100 basis points, we'll try to increase, and that's what we stick with.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Abdul Qadir Puranwala from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is on the St. Louis facility. So is that completely
shut down? Absolutely, you are not audible. If you can be a bit louder.
Is this better?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So my first question is basically on the St. Louis facility. So have we completely shut down that in Q1? And is the cost savings now reflective into this 13% margin what we have reported?
A large part of it, but not all of it. Plant is on the winding up stage, so it's not completely shut. But we have like 1% of employees which we had last year, so maybe we'll taper it down the next couple of months. We could potentially have a buyer or shut it down.
Sure, sure. So, and so your single digit guidance for growth guidance for India, so possible to break it down between the branded generics and trade generics as to, you know, what could be the scenario for 24?
So I think the percentage we have given first, it would remain, the percentage of ratio will not change between trade generics and branded.
Okay, and so in terms of your revenue contribution, how much would be that in trade generics for the current quarter?
It's in it's close to around 17 to 18%.
All right, got it. I'll jump back to you. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Saurabh Kaparia from Sundaram Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So if you can talk about the NLM impact on
excuse me, sir. I'm sorry to interrupt, sir. Your voice is muffled. May we request you to use your handset, please?
Yeah. So if you can talk about the NLM impact on the Q1 numbers.
If I heard you correctly, Saurabh, you are asking NLM impact.
Yeah.
So, yes, NLM impact, actually, we have an opportunity. Actually, we already exercised that opportunity to increase our APCO covered products price increase by 12.24%. But in this quarter one, it has come later part of the quarter from the month of June. So still this price increase impact in totality is expected to be there in quarter two and going forward.
Okay. And second question, now, what was the capex for Q1 and what has been, is there any additional investment which has gone to engine?
So capex for the quarter is somewhere close to 80 crore, 78 crore, 80 crores, and we have already given guidance of 300 to 350 crore for entire year.
Okay, and any additional investment in the biosimilars?
This 350 includes even biosimilar capex also.
Okay.
So major chunk is for biosimilars only, for your understand.
Okay. 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 Fine. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Kunal Dhamesh from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Hey, hi, thank you for the opportunity. So the first question on the trade generic number that you suggested around 17-18%, is that percentage of total revenue or is it percentage of India revenue?
Totally domestic.
So I mean, as far as I was aware, we were somewhere around 21-22% on an annual. So is there a seasonality in the business? Or
yes, there is of course seasonality. There are a lot of other things, yeah. So, you know, 18, 20, it could hover around that quarter to quarter, year to year, yeah.
Okay, but would you say the growth rate of the branded business and trade generic business are now moving in? Growth of branded generic and the trade generic is moving in tandem, or would you say trade generic is still faster?
So this quarter has been lower for both, so I think this quarter will not be a good answer to answer that.
No, I'm not saying this quarter, like, you know, maybe for last 12 months.
Yeah, trade generic is always higher, chief.
Okay, perfect. And let's say our cost efficiency measure, you know, I'm not sure, I might have missed it, I joined a little late. But has that kind of contributed in this quarter or is it going to contribute?
It has contributed, chief.
It has contributed, okay. So then we are basically, let's say, to achieve that 16% EBITDA margin guidance, generally quarter two and quarter three needs to do much better than what we are doing, right? Which is generally the case because of actuals being higher. Correct. But yes, okay, perfect. Yeah, I have more questions. I'll go on that too. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Bino Pati Parampil from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. A couple of questions. One on the depreciation and amortization, I see a decrease year over year. Is that because of the write down that we took in the last quarter?
Voice is not clear. Bino, you are not very clear.
Yes, sir.
Oh, sorry, is it better now?
Yes, sir. Please proceed now.
Okay. Okay. There is a YOY decrease in depreciation and amortization. Is that because of the write off that we took last quarter?
Yeah, there was some one-off related to our U.S. entity. Actually, we took additional depreciation in quarter one of last year.
Okay. Okay, so this is a new base. Okay. Second, in the U.S., there was this dabigatran product which you couldn't launch because of supply issues, etc. Any update on that?
Amit, you want to take that?
Sure. I guess you're talking about dabigatran, and dabigatran, we are still not in the market. We're still working on sorting our supply chain.
Okay. Also, an update on Suprep, if you planning to launch anytime soon.
Amit,
do you want me to take that?
Yeah.
Okay. No, we are not in the market in the recent future for generic
software. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Damyanti Kerai from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. My first question is if you can update us on your cost saving initiative. So you mentioned earlier annual target around 200 to 250 crore savings. So how you are doing there? Like for say 24, are you confident about achieving the entire savings, or it will be gradual move to that stated goal?
CFO will take that question.
Yeah. So definitely, our cost saving exercise is going as per our plan, and in this quarter also we have sizable amount in our bottom line. Your second question was whether we'll be able to achieve 200 crore in this year. I think for sure 110 crore we have already taken in our budget. We'll see. Our endeavor will be to have maximum.
So not all of it.
But I don't think it will be 200 crore, but definitely we'll try to add maximum.
Okay, but say if not in this fiscal, that's your I'll say medium term goal, and as you progress more there, we should be seeing gradual uptick from the 16% margin target which you have indicated for FY24. Should we work with that assumption?
No, I think we already said that, you know, every year we'll try to increase by 50 to 100 basis point, and that's factored in what we are doing.
Okay. And my second question is, you talk about softening raw material prices. So does that include softening prices for Penji also, or that remains elevated?
I think that's non-Penji. Penji is still tough. Cephalosporin is still tough.
Okay, still tough. And my last question, if you can state the current MR count and your productivity for India business.
So Yogesh, yeah.
So total we have now 12,000 representatives, okay, and our productivity average at LKM level is around 5.4.
5.4 lakhs.
Yeah.
That's the average.
Yeah.
And if you can split that among acute and chronic, that will be also helpful.
Acute around 5.9 and chronic 3.5.
3.9. Okay. Thanks. That's all. All the best.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Saion Mukherjee from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the follow-up. On the capital allocation question, given the continuous generation in cash and historically Alchem is very conservative, is there a possibility to significantly increase the dividend payout going forward?
Never say never, but as of now, we have not revised the dividend policy, so nothing in the near-term horizon, Sahin. But yes, if this cash becomes like swelled up in a couple of years' time, we are still conservative in acquisition targets, yes, then we would revise this, Sahin. But we are still away from that.
Okay. And one more, if I can, on biosimilar initiative. Have been talking about, certain technologies which differentiate you. If you can, give some more color as to how should we think about enzyme going forward from, let's say, 140, 150 crores that you have over the next 2-3 years. Thanks.
Yeah, so Sian, thanks for that. So I think enzyme will continue to grow rapidly. And we are looking at Enzyme not just for biosimilars right now, but we also think the CDMO part of that business would also look pretty healthy. Obviously, in early days, we can't be dead sure that this would be right, but I think CDMO and biotechnology are also a huge opportunity. So I think this business from this year will be close to 150 to 175, I think. And this, I think we can double this in a couple of years' time maybe. But let's watch for it, Sahin. Take it with a pinch of salt. I think CDMO is a lumpy business. We really don't know how much will come, what's going to happen. So I think in the next 6 to 8 months, we'll be very clear on. Because this is also a new segment we are trying to learn and build it.
Okay. And based on the traction in CDMO, is it with the innovators, biotech companies or with the biosimilar companies, where you see?
No, biosimilars we avoid because any biosimilar is a low price business for them to, make it as someone else's plant is difficult. Most of them are innovators, but obviously small biopharma to some subsidiaries of a large innovator company also we're working at. So, yes, we are in talks with some mixed, like large and small both. And some of them seem to be finalizing also.
Okay, great. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
We'll take the next question from the line of Rashmi Shetty from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So you mentioned that, we are running Enzyme Biosimilar Plus Enzyme CDMO segment sales at around 150 to 175 crores. How much have we done in this quarter one?
Right. So actually, thanks for bringing it up. I think I stand corrected. I think we'll be at close to 240 CR at Enzyme end of the financial year.
This financial year, you will end up doing 240 crores. That is what,
250 CR. And this quarter one, we did a sales of around 57 crores. Quarter one.
perspective. And at the EBITDA level, you know, are we doing still losses, or I mean expected to do losses at the end of the year?
Yes, mild losses end of the year. Yes. Will not be breaking even this year.
Okay, so we should expect that that should happen in the following year.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, and how much of the R&D expenses is allocated to this business, you know, out of our total R&D? I mean, in percentage terms, if you can explain.
1/3 of our R&D budget is for biotech right now.
Okay, got it. And just from India business, you know, I'm just feeling that, you know, you're giving a very conservative number of high single digits, because normally for Alkem, second and third quarter is very good in terms of the domestic business. That is what I understand. So don't you think that, you know, with the anti-infectives and everything picking up in next two quarters, you know, we should actually be able to do at least low double-digit sort of growth in domestic business?
I hope what you're saying is totally right, and we pray for it. But look at quarter one. We have slowed down compared to the IPM. So I think it would be prudent to temper expectations. We have no incentive to give a lower guidance or manage it. But yeah, we really think that it's going to be tough to go to double digits. And we might. You're right, Ajay. We're an acute-based company. The season really supports, but that's like hoping that everything will go right.
Okay, but we are in the middle of the second quarter, so are we seeing any sales picked up, or you feel that still it is little muted?
We don't see a very significant uptick compared to quarter one.
Understood. Got it. Thank you. That's it for me.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Kunal Randeria from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. So Mr. Ghare, on the US business, you said that there was no one-off opportunity, right? So where did this such a sharp growth come from? Were there new launches, or, you know, some market share gains, some products, if you can just highlight?
No, it came across from the more from the existing business than really from the new product. But new products obviously did contribute to the growth. I just want to make sure that, you know, it's understood correctly. Quarter one of last fiscal was down quite a lot. So if you really compare, you know, two fiscals back, the growth is pretty modest, or, you know, more or less flat, a little bit of growth. So really that's where we are. Whatever kind of we lost last year, we have sort of gained back.
Got it. So, and okay, for any particular, I mean, just to push a bit more, while I understand Q1 base was unfavorable, but it's nothing out of the ordinary. I mean, by that, I mean, maybe some competitor withdrawing from some molecule or anything of that sort. This is just normal business.
That's correct. There is nothing abnormal here or unsustainable here, to be honest. But like I said earlier, the easing in pricing pressure also helps us overall.
Right. Got it. So my second question is on the trade generics business. Now, in the last 12 months, several new, you know, big pharma companies, domestic pharma companies have entered this business. Do you think that longer run it could cannibalize the branded business for the industry?
Sorry, your question was on trade generics. What was it?
Yes. So I'm saying a lot of people, a lot of big pharma companies from India have entered this business. So could it cannibalize the branded market, the 2 lakh crore branded market in the longer run?
I think in the long run there would be some impact, but in the long term there could be some structural impact. I think one is trade generics, private labels from pharmacy chains, all that we keep hearing. So yeah, long term there could be some impact.
Sure. And since Sandeepa, you are maybe the largest or second largest player in this, is there any moat to this business?
If so, yes, so many, yes, players, that's a great question. So, you know, actually these are brands in itself, because, see, they have the brand names also, and the chemist and the retailer and the stockist push it. So your moat is your relationship with the stockist and retailer, which is built over many years. And even the consumers, I mean, who consume the medicine, they know about these companies. So it's not only a pricing game. It's, you know, that's a misconception. In fact, as I kind of said some time back, I think trade generics is also not a great word for this business, because these are brands actually. These are trade brands, you could call them. A lot of products of Alkem are picked up by the consumer by taking the brand name. We don't call on the doctor, but we call on the stockist and retailer.
Great, great. Got it. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Chirag from DSP Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, have you taken any price hikes in the trade generic business also?
Mr. Dubey, you can take that.
Yeah. Yes, definitely price hike is there. That is one component of growth we forecast in trade generic. But there are a lot of analysis needs to be done to what extent we can take price.
But we have taken in the quarter one, just taken. One. We have. And that's a great question. Again, it proves it that we have a brand. It's not just pricing. Yeah.
So, you know, when we think of the business longer term, in general, when we think of the branded business, we think about it as a 3, 4, 5% kind of price hike, you know, generally. Is that true for trade generic also? Although it may not be as linear, but generally when you think of it in blocks of, say, 3 or 4 years, does that kind of price hike come through?
I would say not like the branded prescription. It depends on the segment. So if it has an OTX component, you can have a price rise 3 to 5% every year, but on the others, it depends on some dynamics of competition and things like that also.
Sir, my question is based on historical data. Over the last 4 or 5 years, have you seen low single digit kind of price hike in your portfolio?
We have, but it comes in lumps.
Correct, understood. But you've seen, you know, mid-single digit or low single digit kind of price hike in that business.
Do I kind of IRR? Yes, we kind of take a hike. Yes.
Understood. Okay, fair point. And sir, you also talked about you know, the India business growing in high single digit this year for you. In your assessment, how much will IPM grow this year?
In my assessment, IPM would grow by maybe 8%.
And in that context, you are thinking about Alkem's business growing in a similar.
Similar to maybe 100 to 200 max. I mean, 200 make us reach double digits, but yeah, close to that.
Understood. Okay, fair point. And, you know, when you typically your procurement for, you know, for your large molecules in the coming season, when does it start and how does this play out for penicillin G based products for the coming seasons?
Yeah. So our raw material procurement and other excipients or packaging material, it keeps on continuous basis. Normally, we build inventory of RMPM for our production schedules. So I think, but wherever we foresee and we get indication prices are going to increase, definitely we try to make inventory a little bit on higher level. But beyond certain extent, you can't have inventory. So just to answer to your question, it is continuous exercise. If Penji prices are on higher side and team effective, if it is expensive, you cannot avoid. Instead of 1.5 months or 2 months raw material and excipients, you can go and add for another 15 days, not beyond that, or a month or so. So answer to your question, if prices are on higher side, definitely it will be part of our COGS.
Understood. Okay. And just the last question, sir, if I can squeeze. The chronic business today, is it contributing to EBITDA?
Yeah, it does. So chronic almost contribute close to 20% to the business. I mean, you know, to overall chronic business, if you ask, chronic contributes to itself around 18 to 20% EBITDA.
EBITDA margin for chronic.
Yeah. So this is EBITDA margin to the chronic business, I'm saying.
So chronic business margins are also similar to what you make on a in the India business, basically.
No. I mean, yeah, overall, yes. Yeah. But that's, again, acute we make far higher. I mean, I'm sure you know. Yeah.
Theek hai. Perfect. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Mehul Seth from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity. So first question on domestic side. So when we see around 7% growth in Q1, so this, can you break it down between the volume, price and new launches, how the growth was? And similarly, you are expecting high single digit growth. So will it be like a volume, price and what are your expectation on this growth drivers for the IPM?
Yogesh.
Yeah, so quarter, if you ask me, then the volume growth is close to 1%. New launches is 3.7 and NRV is 2.3.
And so for the full year, like when we say a high single digit growth, say around 8-9% or at par with market, then what will be your expectation? Like, is the volume recovery visible? Or?
Yeah, so you can expect a reasonable good recovery from NRV because of our DPCO impact. You know, the price impact will be seen more in quarter two onwards. So large impact will come through NRV and a reasonably good amount will come through volumes as well. So these two will contribute to the growth factor in next 2 to 3 quarters.
And so last on some tax rate side. So this quarter was around 18%. So what will be the annual ETR for the company?
Yeah, actually, we are revising our guidance on effective tax rate. It is going to be in between 17% to 19%. And if we compare with last year, definitely it is on higher side because of some compliance related things related to marketing services. So now some of the marketing expenses we considered as disallowances, and second thing, our profit from non-exempted plant, it increased. That is mainly our export business. So if that mix is going to change, then definitely we are going to have higher effective tax rate. And to conclude, for this year, we are going to be in between 17% to 19% on effective tax.
And so one more question. So any impact on other expenses or other because of your tech subsidiary?
Sorry, I'm not very clear on your question.
Your voice is breaking, sir, now.
Am I audible now?
Yes, sir. Please proceed. May I request you to please keep your mic little bit higher from your mouth and speak, please?
Yeah, so the question was like any forex impact in other expenses side because of your story?
No, it is not there in other expenses, at least for this quarter, because we have positive impact of forex. And it has not gone under other expenses.
Okay, so thank you, Prabhu. That's all from us. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Gagan Thareja from ASK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Sir, the first question is around the other expenses for the quarter. It's up 21% year on year against the sales growth of 15%. And, you know, if I adjust for R&D, which is actually slightly lower year on year, then the other expenses excluding R&D are actually up 28% year on year. Can you explain and elaborate there? I mean, I would have thought that you are undertaking cost cutting exercises, so this should reflect in the other expenses line item.
Yeah, generally it depends on what kind of phasing you have for your marketing expense. For this year in quarter one, phasing related to marketing expenses on little bit on higher side, and definitely to certain extent it got neutralized because of softening of freight, especially export freight. That's very true. Yes, even R&D spending is on little bit on lower side, but it's the phasing of marketing expense. So we spend little bit higher in quarter one. So definitely quarter three, quarter four is going to have impact of that to certain extent.
So, I mean, are you suggesting that in the coming quarters of the year, the other expenses line item can actually be lower because you've upfronted a certain amount of your marketing expense in the first quarter itself?
Yeah, obviously, because our annual EBITDA target is guidelines is 16%. So definitely that is going to reduce going forward.
And I mean, this quarter your sales mix, you know, India to exports is 2/3 to 1/3, whereas normally, you know, for the full year, I think it's higher for India. So the sales mix would also, you know, have had some impact on margins. Would it then be fair to assume that as the sales mix normalizes, it should show up in margins going ahead in the quarter?
Yeah, you are very right. Actually, sales mix, if it improves for domestic, then definitely we are going to have better gross margin as well as EBITDA margin.
Okay. And you indicated that, you know, you were able to take the DPCO linked price increase only in the month of June for the first quarter. It was not effective for the first 2 months. And if that is the case, then again, sequentially in the second quarter, even that should help your gross margins and EBITDA margins. Would that be a fair assumption?
Yeah, Gagan, actually, in fact, our guidance of 16%, we have factored all these things. So increase in DPCO price, whatever it has not come in quarter one, that also is factored. So I think you have given answer to most of the thing. If our product sales mix is changing, definitely we are going to have better margin. But right now, our projection and our guidance of 16%, most of the thing we have already factored.
Right. I think that's it. Last one, if you could just clarify, I didn't hear the enzyme top line number. I was not able to hear it clearly. You indicated a certain sales number for the year and for the aspiration for the year and actual number for the quarter. If you could just kindly repeat that.
240
for the year. Yeah.
So for the year, total top line for enzyme on consolidated basis, it is going to be 265 crores or 260 crores around.
In what was it last year?
Last year it was around 160 crores.
You recently launched, I think, 13, you know, additional products, Cetuximab and some more. Is there anything more in the pipeline that you intend to add this year?
Yeah. Every year we intend to launch 2 to 3 products. There's certainly something coming up in the next quarter.
Okay, and you foresee a break even in enzyme in the coming year, right?
Next year, yes.
Right. And how has been you know, the reception of your ophthal portfolio? I know it's early days, but if you could give some idea on ophthal and also on the diabetes and cardio side. I think last year cardio was weak, if I recall it correctly.
So ophthal is very early. I would refrain from answering. I would love to answer you, but just give us a quarter more. Cardio and diabetes, Yogesh, you can.
I think you're right. So diabetes, you know that we are outperforming the market reasonably well. Cardiac, I think we have significantly improved now compared to last year, where our EI evolution index was below 90. Now in this quarter, we have reached 98. And for the month, it is 101. So if this trend continues in the next quarter also, we have an EI more than 100, and that is, you know, outperforming the market. So cardiac is reasonably settling.
So for the chronic portfolio in India, would it be reasonable to assume, you know, that you can sustain a mid-teens sort of a growth for the year? You've already got that sort of a number in the bag for the first quarter, or do you believe, you know, there's potential for it to be better?
No, so we should be in around that. We will aspire for better, but mid-teens is what we should be surely driving.
Okay. Thank you. I'll get back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management will be able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Puneet Pujara from Helios Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. I hope I'm audible.
Yes.
Yeah. So for the quarter, you added $12 to $13 million in the US business, both on quarter on quarter and year on year basis. So I just wanted to know, because of that and cost cutting measures would have aided your EBITDA profile. So I wanted to know, are we in profits in the US right now? I'm not looking for a number, but just directionally, is it profitable at the current juncture?
Mr. Dubey.
Yeah, so answer to your question, at business level, are we profitable? Yes, definitely we are profitable without taking few of the overheads. Here I'm referring corporate overhead or similar kind of overheads. So definitely we are in profit. And I'm sorry, what was your first question?
No, that was the question was on profitability only. I was not slicing or dicing anything after R&D and overheads, everything put together. That was my question, sir.
At business level, we are in positive.
Understood, sir. And sir, last, updated on Enzene, I mean, you had communicated that you are incurring capex for.
I'm sorry to interrupt, Mr. Pujara. Your voice broke. Can you please repeat your question?
Sure. Is it better now?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Please proceed.
Yeah. Sir, so last quarter, you had indicated that you are incurring capex for Enzene in the US. What are the project commissioning timelines are you anticipating?
We are 1.5 years away, at least from that. 1.5 years away.
Sure. And a quick last question from my side. What's the R&D guidance for the full year, considering the revenue guidance revision?
I think 5% is a good estimate.
Understood. So that answers my question. I'll jump back with you. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Akash Dobara from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Just want to know the gross margin guidance for the year.
Gross margin guidance we have already given 59% to 59.5%, and that we maintain.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Amar Maurya from Alpha Accurate. Please go ahead. Mr. Maurya, I have unmuted your line. Kindly proceed with your question.
Yeah. So, sir, my first question is on the, the MR strength. What would be the breakup, broad breakup between the acute and chronic?
So, we have, 20% of our, overall reps is chronic. So, out of 12,000, 2,400 for chronic.
Okay. So basically, sir, I think earlier, so the productivity level, if I see, has significantly improved in the chronic versus the acute, which we were expecting to improve further. I think that has not inched up to the level which we were expecting. Any specific reason for that, sir?
This is largely because of expansion. So while at broad level, blended level, you might see a productivity is stagnated. But this is because of increase in manpower. So last year we expanded close to around 800 odd reps. So that dilutes our productivity. That's the reason you might be seeing stagnated productivity.
Okay. So now given the pickup and all, it should improve from
yes,
here on.
Yeah.
Okay. Fine, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Kunal Dhamesh from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity again. I just wanted to understand on the Enzene business. Right now it's all revenue coming from India. And secondly, on the same Enzene business, if you could help us understand the economics of the business as to the gross margins right now and the fixed cost, fixed operating cost. So once you grow, how much improvement can come from there? That is the first question.
Sure. So I think we'll answer not all of it, honestly. It's too early to answer on gross margin and fixed costs and all. We'd love to answer it when it's a larger business. We'll give you the split between international and India. So it has international components, not all India.
Okay.
International is 20% and domestic is 80%, including CDMO and products both.
Okay. And the plant, you know, if you can help us with the, let's say, bioreactor capacity, and has it been inspected by which agency still now?
Yes, inspected by the DG Australia. And we have filed EU, so they would also come in sometime. But it's TGA approved in regulated markets. It's TGA approved. Inspected, yeah.
Sure. And the capacity front, bioreactor capacity?
We'll come back on that. We don't have it offhand. We can answer you separately on that.
Sure. And secondly, on the EBITDA margin improvement, let's say beyond FY24, which we are suggesting 50 to 100 basis point every year. Now the way I see it is there are 3-4 drivers, right? At least for FY25, we would see incremental cost efficiency and then engine profitability improvement, and then the general operating leverage in India. So my question here is, does this 50-100 basis point incremental improvement, would that also assume raw material prices of some of our key molecules going down?
Yes. Some part of it that would have to play out.
Okay.
And operating leverage would play a large part of it beyond 2025.
Okay, sure. And the last one, if I may, on the trade generic business, we have said that we can take price increases, etc. But generally, I mean, you know, when I look at our trade generic prices as compared to the branded prices for the same molecules, they are generally only around 10 to 15% cheaper, right? So to that extent, we don't have that much kind of leeway. Is it a fair assessment, or I'm wrong here in terms of numbers?
I think we don't have that much of leeway compared to branded generics, for sure. That's a fair assumption. But we stand by what we said. There is, we do take a price increase in trade generics as well. Not as structured as branded generics, but they do come, and they come in lumps. Yeah.
And at any point, have we thought about, you know, some of our peers have changed the strategy by putting this some of the big brands into the consumer healthcare bucket? Would we also plan to do this at some point?
Certainly we'll do it, and we do think about it, and that's very interesting. But we also have to think that, you know, it's a huge franchise. We have the doctors, so we'll have to be careful on that. But we certainly think about that to answer you. And as a possibility, in the next couple of years, we might see some moves there.
And what benefit could it bring for us? You know, on a broader level, I'm not asking for exact benefits in terms of margin, etc. But like strategically, you know.
I think just a larger consumer base. And whenever this is done, normally you do see a dip in the first year and a half. But then there are a lot of examples what it happened in Ranbaxy, when they went from RX to OTC. They did become large brands, Revital and the other painkillers, the Bovidan and all that stuff.
Sure. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Rashmi Shetty from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the follow-up. Sir, do we have any claims of overpricing from DPC or NPPA where they are considering this MESP scheme?
Not any significant matter. It has come to our notice. See, DPCO, they keep on communicating, and then we clarify them. So, nothing significant as such.
Okay. And for the U.S. market, how many launches have we planned for this year? Any specific number you would like to call out?
Mr. Ghare, you can take that, please.
This year, we have planned about 8 launches in the U.S.
Okay.
And these are all mainly OSPs, right?
That's correct. But like we have said in the past, we also do liquids, we do powders, we do nasal sprays. So yes, they are spread across these dosage forms.
Perfect. And sir, on international business, can we take this as a new base of quarter one of roughly 319 crores? As you already mentioned that all the markets are contributing to the overall growth.
Yes, there is nothing which is one time here. So to that extent, this base can be taken. Of course, quarter and quarter, some variance will always come.
All right. Thank you, sir. That's it for now.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Mehul Seth from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the follow-up. Sir, just one clarification. When you said your tax guidance of 17% to 19%, it is for FY24 or even for FY25, 26?
So this was for FY24. FY25 will come back to you after seeing 24. So this 17% to 19% is for 24.
And so just one more, like when we talk about capital allocation, do you have any plan like to foray into ventures like consumer healthcare or anything like your peers are, some of the peers are doing that?
No, sorry, your question was plan is on what, consumer? What was
consumer healthcare is kind of a ventures like.
Yeah, I mean, we think about it every day, it's interesting, but a bit marginally impacted, so I think we'll have to think about that because, you know, the first 2-3 years would be, marketing spend would be high. So we'll time it adequately. But right now, we don't have any plans to foray into it.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Thank you for the clarification. That's all.
Thank you. Sorry. Ladies and gentlemen, this will be the last question for today, which is from the line of Saion Mukherjee from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for the follow-up, again. Just one clarification on the international business. I mean, typically, we have seen a lot of volatility with many companies, but for Alkem, it has been a very steady growth. If you can give, some idea as to, is this entirely branded generic kind of business or you also have some tenders which can go up and down. So the nature of the business at an overall level and, some of the markets like Chile and all, which is a large market, we have seen consistently 30-40% CAGR kind of a growth in the last 4-5 years. So how are you sort of driving this, if you can, give some idea on that?
Mr. Ghare, you can take that.
Sure. So there are businesses which have the institutional component, so not to think about it. But the overall business is obviously achieved based on each market, looking at their numbers and, looking at all the areas that we can expand or grow in. And the first point, really fine to answer your question was, we have a bigger slice of the interchangeable generic business versus the branded business. So that clearly is our split, or that's clearly the way we operate our practice. There's no one particular market which kind of jumps out. And there is, like I said earlier, there is no one-time business that came into these numbers. So we strongly believe that these are sustainable. Having said that, there will always be some variance quarter on quarter.
Okay. So what is the split between institution generic and branded generic?
There's nothing like institutional, so I don't want to split it that way. But interchangeable generic versus branded generic, that split is 90% is interchangeable generic, 10% is branded generic. This is overall international business.
Thank you. Thanks. That's all. Thank you.
As that was the last question for today, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Amit Khandelia for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, everyone, for attending the call. If any of your queries are unanswered, please feel free to get in touch with me. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir, and the members of management. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Motilal Oswal Financial Services, that concludes this conference. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.